If you're looking to move out of your parents' place, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive, which is good because your little brother has gotten really territorial. You're blood related. You'd think it would be fine to share food in the fridge. I mean, who writes their name on every individually wrapped slice of cheese, Tyler? Still, you've got to admire the commitment. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and use the savings to help you move out and have all the cheese you want. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Listening to the Career Musician Podcast with creator and host Nomad. With 20 plus years of experience in the music industry, Nomad has done just about everything to earn a living as a career musician. From being music director to celebrity artists, playing iconic arenas and stadiums, composing for film and TV, and even playing your average local club gigs, he's done it all. Nomad's mission is to empower musicians across the globe with strategies for a sustainable career while blasting stereotypes, and to bring you tried and true wisdom from his colleagues in this crazy business we call music.
Welcome to the Career Musician Podcast with your host, Nomad. On this episode, I have Mr. Christian Swain and Jerry Danielson of the Pantheon Podcast Network, of which the Career Musician is a member. Now, why is Pantheon so important? Because they are the first all music-based podcast collective. And yes, they are responsible for bringing you this very podcast. Now, Christian is the CEO and Jerry is the head of engineering, and they both have extremely diverse and rich backgrounds in music, basically doing everything from singing, playing guitar and various other instruments, composing, producing, engineering, etc. Now, the episode prior to this with Jack Pyatt is instrumental in bringing you Christian and Jerry from Pantheon Podcasts, because Jack is the one who connected the dots and linked us up. That's right. He referred me to Christian over at the Pantheon Podcast Network, and then shortly thereafter, I became a member. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a village. It takes a team. I am grateful to Jack Pyatt, and Christian, Jerry, Peter, and everybody over at Pantheon, and I'm super stoked to be a member of their collective.
This is actually going to go in.
We're already editing. Okay.
No, we're not editing. This is going in. I have two awesome gentlemen sitting in front of me, Christian Swain and Jerry Danielson.
Hey, and just so they know, I'm Christian.
And I'm Jerry.
Now you have a voice identifier.
And we're a vaudeville act. We've been at it since 1922.
I love it. So, Christian, are you the founder of Pantheon Podcast Network solely, or was this a collective...
It started with an original podcast called Rock and Roll Archaeology.
Right.
So that's the granddaddy, the one that started it all.
Which, by the way, I love your voice, because now I listen to the podcast. So now having you in front of me, I'm like, oh, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
Yeah,
I'm the guy.
That's cool.
So it kind of started with that. And then I have a writing partner that I work with, Richard Evans. Who is also part of the it should be a trio, since the three of us all went to the same high school, and we've known each other for over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
Okay, so that's how this
started.
And
I'm only 30 years old, so that's amazing.
You know what? You must be really good at math, then. So when these guys walked in the studio, we're hanging out and giving them a little tour of Nomad's place, and they started telling me their history. You started telling me your history.
Yeah.
I'm speaking like you're not here. And I
He's
was like,
not really here anyway.
I was like, guys, no. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Tell listeners.
Them. Right.
Because this is some good fodder.
Yes.
Okay, so continue. 40 years.
So we went to high school together, but later when I started my own studio.
Yeah.
Back in the mid 80s, I had a Kai 12 track, you know, those things, and his band recorded there. We were already friends, but I was one of the only studios in town in Santa Clarita, Northern LA.
Yeah, he was in a competing band. Let's see, your band was called Busy Signal.
Right.
Yeah, and my band, do you remember my band?
Infrared.
Yeah, you remember. Okay,
Infrared.
Cool. Yeah.
And then my recording studio is called Busy Signal Studios because I was in a band called Busy Signal.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I just carried on that name because at the time we were known a little bit, you know. So.
Now, hold on a minute. Let's talk about the term Busy Signal. For the listeners
who may not know what that is these days. Yeah,
right. Think about it. Nowadays,
there's no busy signal.
There's no such thing as a busy signal. On landlines, back in the day, on the phone, you would get a busy signal that sounded like you just
did,
Jerry.
You'd get that sound, and that meant that somebody was on the line. It was disengaged. You had to wait for them to hang up before you could try to just call again because, you know, it was a landline.
Well, nowadays, what did it mean when it was double fast? Do you remember that? When it went bang, 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 bang.
Was that two calls on
that? No, it was that the switchboard was filled and you had to wait and come back.
And if you left your phone off the hook,
that was another one.
You'd hear beep, 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 because it was disengaged
very loudly, too.
Now, this is so you guys came out on a horse and buggy out west,
following the Missouri Trail. I think it was Kit Carson who led us, right?
Cans with the strings on
the strings, right? I love that.
Well, no, we came in the nylon era, nylon strings.
Nylon. Hey, at least we got classical, right?
Right.
You know, technology has evolved faster than any one of us can hope to ever keep up with, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to say something about podcasts, being that you're the founder, and then I want to explain Pantheon.
Yeah.
But back in early 2000s, when the iPhone first came out, what was that 2005,
2007?
Okay, seven. Mm. I was into podcasts back then.
Oh,
nobody knew what the hell they were.
True.
Okay.
So I was listening to podcasts about
Adam Curry and some of the originals.
A different chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. I was listening to financial stuff, you know, to motivational stuff, or just whatever. And then I fell off my radar. And then when I started seeing a need for what I'm doing here with the Career Musician. And that was probably about 2013, 2014. So another 7 or so years later, then I really got into it. But we have seen the podcast, the evolution of the podcast, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's turned into something that was languishing under Apple's only guidance.
That's right.
Which was very little guidance at that. And it, you know, it really kind of made its splash with Serial, if you remember that podcast.
I sure do.
And that's when all of a sudden people were downloading it a million times, and it kind of made, you know, media news.
Right.
And that's kind of what was the original inspiration for me to say, wow, I think I can make a podcast. I'm sure me and a million others, or actually now 700,000 different podcasts out there. So at least 700,000 different
people. So there's 700,000 different podcasts.
Yeah, they say 700,000 to 800,000. That, and because remember, it's mostly Apple, and most Apple users are as iPhones and are mostly in the United States. So most of the rest of the world actually uses
all these different
Google or the Android system.
Right.
And now podcasting has switched over to that. We've got 50 different platforms beyond Apple now that host podcasts, and you know, so it's turned into a bit of more of a business now. It's beginning to professionalize.
I love it. So hold on. I want to get some of these statistics right. So you said 700,000 to 800,000 different podcasts that we know of in the U.S. And you said 50 different podcasting platforms?
Yeah, 50 different
platforms. Roughly?
Yeah. And that means like, you know, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Pandora.
Blueberry or Blue, which says another one.
That's a distribution. That's like Libsyn and Blueberry, Podbean, several others.
But you can also download all kinds of different podcast players on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted
to. And you can listen to podcasts on your computer as well.
Yeah. I wanted to. delineate some of this for those listeners who may be fascinated with it or new to the game, or even like myself, I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we joined forces, that you took me on as a podcast.
Yeah,
I love being a part
of it. Very happy to have you part of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Thank you.
Because the pod fam, we should say. That's what I like to say.
There you go.
Our pod fam, yes.
I've learned so much in the handful of months I've been with you guys, and I'm learning more. So talk about that, the delineation between a podcast publishing system that broadcasts podcasts, that broadcasts them, versus a podcast host site.
Yeah, so the hosts, the hosts are like Libsyn, Blueberry, Podbean, and of course the one that we use, which is Megaphone.
Megaphone, which I love, by the way.
Yeah, we just happen to think it's the best. And
streamlined.
And so that that creates the RSS feed that then goes out to the platforms, of which Apple is a platform. Okay, so they just were the original.
One of many,
platform.
They were the original.
Yeah.
But then
and
other OG. People have jumped in and provided it because it's still growing and growing. Yeah. You know, it's a growing
thing. It's crazy, It's fascinating.
And now people
it's
like...
It's going to grow even more. I mean, it's just starting to become sort of... You still have to explain to some people what a podcast even is. Yeah. And then somebody goes, you have a podcast? They're not all created equal. If somebody started a podcast and went, I have a podcast, they'd have... 5 listeners, you know.
Right.
So it takes a long time and a lot of work
that's
to get
how
up
I
to
started.
150,000 a month, you know.
And that's where Pantheon is living now, somewhere in those numbers.
Yeah.
So we actually we just hit 150,000 downloads last month, and
we are
we're high fiving.
We've been making double digit growth for 6 months now
per month.
So and it's a lot of it's because of Megaphone. It is the you know, let's go back a little bit to the Pantheon, how it came about.
Yes, please.
You mentioned the founder. Mm-hmm. And, I created Rock and Roll Archaeology with my buddy Richard Evans, and we put that together. And then we brought in a business partner, and that's Peter Ferrioli.
I was just going to say, Peter is the missing link here.
Yes. And so Peter comes at it from a very business standpoint, and you know he understands the apps, all of the blogging before that, how internet travel actually works, how to make money on it, and things like that. So Peter came on. Actually, he started as a marketing. You know, I brought him on as a marketing guy. And then we became business partners. So Pantheon Media, because it was originally Rock and Roll Archaeology, which was
based on
the
your
original
show. Which, folks, you have to check out. I love the show.
Well, thank you.
It's
thank
so
you,
cool.
Thank
music
you,
history at its best.
It is a complete telling of the history of rock and roll music, culture, and technology, and how it came together and wove and created a feedback loop with the society from post-war to the end of the century and maybe a little into the 2000s. Jerry and I argue about this all the time, about when it ends. But it is, you know, we are in a different story now.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, well, now it's kind of a complete story that this music will continue on for hundreds of years. I mean, I think we'd all agree right now that the Beatles and Mozart, they kind of fit together.
They do.
500 years from now, people are going to be talking about McCartney and Lennon just as they do about Wolfgang.
I agree.
So I wanted to...
And they were both the same age when they did all their masterpieces.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Right. Mozart was very young, and so were the Beatles were all in their
20s.
Late teens and 20s. They broke up by the time they
were
hit
30.
Like 30.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah. Well, 30. Five, I think, but they so we wanted to tell that, and then out of that got successful, but it takes us a long time to make each episode, and so we started getting feedback from our fans going, hey, can you do something else? And I said, well, yeah, let's we could do some other shows. So we did the interview show.
So hold on, let me interject real quick. So when you say it'd take a long time for each episode, how long?
3 to 6 months
for an episode.
Each episode. Yeah,
because
it's research.
Oh, because you're doing all the
research
and
writing, production.
When I listen to it, I'm like, how do these guys do this? It's so meticulous.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's why.
That's what I needed to know. Okay.
So for 5 years,
and
we've been working at it.
And all that,
18 episodes are out. One more, 19 is being worked on right now. And we're at about 1969. just to give you an idea. Beautiful. So we have still have a long way to go.
So okay, so sorry to interrupt.
We're halfway there.
Okay, so in the interim for a fast-paced culture, you created...
We created a couple of recap shows to start with. We did HBO's Vinyl, Martin Scorsese and Mick Jagger's big attempt at creating a rock and roll identity on television.
And it only did one season.
Oh, no.
I love that show.
It was very dense, but it...
lots of drugs?
Yeah, it just... I don't know. It had its issues. I can see why it failed.
Then
we did Showtime's Roadies.
Oh, right.
That was Cameron Crowe's. That also lasted only 1 year. And then we created a couple of other shows. We call it the Original Six. So it was Rock and Roll Archaeology, Deeper Digs in Rock, Real Rock, which is about rock and roll movies, the Rock and Roll Librarian with Shelley Sorensen, and then we brought on The Muses, which was a show out of Toronto. We both ended up on a CBC Canadian Broadcast Company show about Elvis. It was Elvis's birthday, so they did the show, and they used a little of our stuff, and they used a little of their stuff. And we hooked up. We brought them on. And that was our first sort of contracted show that was done. But then we helped them kind of improve and create sound quality and things like that. Then we brought on the Vinyl Snob. That was the Original Six. Mm-hmm. So we lived with that until about 2 years ago. We also went through an engineering change. We originally were working with an engineer up in San Francisco, and that didn't work out. And I was kind of like going, what should I do? And my writing partner, Richard, says, you should talk to Jerry. And I was like, oh, you should
like,
right.
It's almost like one of those
like
dumb moments.
Right? Like, how the fuck did I think
years,
of that myself?
Right?
You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Jerry, come on. You let this guy talk to you like that?
Yeah.
Not for long.
Yeah. So we brought Jerry on, and sure enough, immediately, he picked up what we were doing.
Next level,
and, and it all kind of worked. And
that was April 2016, so I've been around...
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Going on 4 years, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Congrats. 40 and four.
Yeah,
I
40
love
and
it.
Four. And
yeah.
then so then in the last year or so, we started realizing, well, really, where the juice is in the network. Because there was a lot of cross-pollination that was going on between the different shows. We could see that that was an advantage. We felt that if we could create a music-only network, podcast network out there, it's a vertical market that would separate ourselves from the competition, which are general podcast companies. They basically make podcasts for everything. Drama, self-help, exercise,
news,
travel, whatever.
World events.
Yeah. And I said, that's a wrong idea. I said, so I thought of myself as a contract. How do I deal with that? How do I work with that? Well, and I've dealt with that in my old business for years. And really, you want to work with somebody who knows your business intimately. So if I come and walk in and go, well, I'm a podcast company and I make all kinds of podcasts to a musician or a music company, they go, okay, that's great. Whereas I walk in and go, no, my focus is you. All I do is music. And we felt that that would be a very strong suit out there.
I'll never forget the first call we had. It was you, Peter, and myself. Christian, Peter, and myself. And sorry, Jerry, not to leave you out, but you're the technical guy. So you came in later.
Yeah.
You know, but I looked at my wife after I got the phone. I was like, babe, this is weird. It feels surreal. It feels too good to be true. Mm. It's not like you guys, because let me just say, it's not like you guys are paying me.
Yeah.
It's not like you're saying, hey, sign here in the dotted line and we'll make you rich. No, it's not. But it's a synergy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What you just said that is, you can't pay for.
No.
So when you guys, you know, gave me your pitch, quote unquote, you almost didn't even have to pitch because I was like, I'm in, sign me up.
This is crazy.
This is amazing. Yeah.
I think you actually asked, what's
the
hook?
What's the catch?
Really, there is
what
no
the
catch.
Hell, guys, I don't trust you. Hey, we're in the music business. We've all heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Anything is possible.
So tell you what.
It's for exposure.
You give me $1,500. Yeah, I'll get you a band everywhere.
If you get enough followers, we'll cut you a part of it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So I was enamored with it. So okay. I love that concept. I love. Now tell me this, because I put it at the end of each of my episodes that we are the only music, 100% music based podcast network.
Yeah,
is that still true?
We are without doubt the largest music only podcast network. I haven't seen a music only podcast network out there. There is a competitor that will remain nameless, but they also have culture shows, you know, and culture.
They're not just music.
Yeah, and it's culture around music, you know, like a pot show, a politics and music show. Sure. And they're cool, and we love them to death. And we're actually, you know, we keep in touch and talk and that sort of stuff. Yeah, because we also, I think we prove each other's case for the need out there in the world. But they come at it from a very different standpoint. They come from a... from a jam band kind of world. So it's kind of a bottom-up sort of thing.
Okay.
We come at it from music in general. So top-down is the way I think about it. Yeah,
I like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So we're into all kinds of music. Me personally, I love all music.
And
I don't care what it is.
I identify with that. I'm the same way. I'm sure you seem like you're By the way, I was listening to Jerry jam on my fretless bass over here. You're killing it, bro. You're over there shredding away. Nice, man. Yeah. All right, so now let's go back to the history about you guys.
Yeah.
So 40 years ago, you met, tell me.
Well, Santa Clarita Valley, which was at that time.
I used to live up there.
It was a very small, isolated community.
Tiny community.
You got the mountains that separate you from LA. We used to call it on the edge of LA.
Oh, that's
you know, when we grew up.
I think it was probably 50,000 people then, and now it's like 220,000 people.
Wow.
Just northern LA.
Yeah.
When I moved up there from Orange County when I was in high school. And I told my parents, there's no fucking way I'm moving to the country unless you buy me a horse. And
did they?
You know, no, of course. But
you met Jerry.
That's what it felt like to me.
Horse.
It felt like to me like I was moving to the rural land.
I can imagine.
It wasn't. And to be honest with you, I consider that my hometown, you know, even though I only went to school there for the last year.
My parents moved there. I was in junior high. Eighth grade.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of say because you're in eighth grade. What, you're 13 or something? And I couldn't say much about it. They're just moving there. So I felt uprooted from North Hollywood Studio City, which is where I was.
Where all the quote-unquote action is going on.
But then I grew roots there, and I went to junior high and high school.
And then it
there,
became
then,
the norm.
You know people.
Well, tell them what your mom used to do.
Oh, yeah. My mom used to be a switchboard operator at a musician's answering service.
Yeah, back when, like, the Wrecking Crew
Dial
and all
Faye
of that.
Holy cow.
And Arlen's. And it came up in one of the interviews.
Yeah, with
Hal
Blaine.
Oh, I used
Blaine.
To work with Hal Blaine.
Hal
used to
Blaine.
Talk about Arlen's. And my mother worked there as an operator for a musician's
How
answering
How cool
service.
Is that?
And she used to talk to these people. And she used later told me when I was trying to sort of get somewhere in music as a teenager... I wish I still worked there, you know, so you can drop your name.
Bring your in,
Well, I'm going to expand this even more, so tell them about your son.
Oh, okay. So that we're jumping around.
I love it.
In
I love
time.
It. But you're still family oriented.
Well, it's
here.
Career musician, dude.
The
you are.
Oh, the career.
Your family
music.
Is
oh,
career
right.
musician.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
a thoroughbred family of career musicians.
I'm a full-time musician as well,
that's
and
right.
recording engineer.
Right.
And composer, I do more composing for some TV and film than
that's
I
amazing.
Do playing out.
And
yeah.
plays.
But I do play out live, and I've done musical theater lately.
Wow.
Last year, we had a play going on in
Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
And it got all these great reviews, and I'm writing a new theater piece with this other guy I'm meeting with tomorrow. And then there's a feature film I'm writing later this year. I'm writing the music, not the
right,
film.
Right, sure, sure.
And it'll be my fourth or fifth of those, and I do
Amazing.
Short films and stuff. But then, when in my early 20s, I married the singer of my band.
Yeah.
Always a mistake.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done it.
Hey, I'm married to the singer in my band.
Yeah, yeah.
That's different.
So that's the cliche thing.
Yeah, I'm confused on how that's different,
So we had a son before we broke up. His name is Sean Danielson.
Yeah. Okay.
So he went on, and by the time he was 19, he got a pre-production deal and got signed to a major label,
Interscope,
Lava Atlantic.
Wow.
And his band is Smile. Empty Soul, and they've had gold records and even a platinum, and all over the radio and everything. And he still tours for a living, and they have a huge following. Last year, they had 30 million streams on Spotify.
What's the name of the band again?
Smile, Empty Soul.
And you can find them online. Smile, Empty Soul.
Oh, yeah, just Google Smile, Empty Soul. Yeah. And there's videos, and there's... In fact, I produced a video of theirs a couple years ago, and he's my son.
That's amazing, dude.
You're looking it up right now. Smile, Empty Soul. It's
there they are.
Three different words, but there they are. So Smile, Empty Soul.
Yeah, I love it. Man, that is so cool. So it's all in the family. Here they are.
The guy in the middle right there is my son.
That's your son.
He's the songwriter, guitarist, singer. And then there's bass and drums, and there's a trio.
Amazing, bro. Well, kudos to you. That is so awesome.
And you, did you meet him when he was very young?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was probably around...
When he, you know, Rugrat sort of thing.
Yeah, he was, you know, he's a little kid.
But he wasn't picking up the guitar and making me go, holy shit, look at that.
I've always had a home studio, so by the time he was...
So you're producing his albums.
So he's like 9 years old playing the guitar, but he's writing songs.
Yeah.
So by the time he was like 13, he formed his own idea, and he called it Rhesus Monkey. And he played the drums and the guitar and the bass and did the singing. And it was these cute little songs. But for 13, that's pretty good.
How awesome is that?
So he always had the talent. And he's a good songwriter.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So he's probably in the world of touring bands. You know, he's certainly more well-known than I am.
Very cool.
But it's great.
Binge previous seasons of the Career Musician Podcast and subscribe for all new episodes.
Follow the Career Musician on Instagram and Facebook.
I'm Jerry Danielson from Busy Signal Studios, and you're listening to the Career Musician Podcast with my incredible new friend, Nomad.
Hey, this is Christian Swain, the CEO of Pantheon Podcasts, and I am a career musician.
So, Jerry, you have literally a family lineage of career musians.
My son
basically,
and myself.
Your son and yourself, and your mom was involved.
She was in the music business, if you consider that being
Being
a switchboard operator, but as a musician's answering service, so she did that.
But she's around it. She's in the scene. You know, look, you talk about the Wrecking Crew. Those were the cats back in the day, so she was involved. Now, Christian, let's talk about your musical lineage and how that started.
So I don't have a lot of family, familial musical background.
Right. When I say lineage, I use that term loosely.
How
did you get involved in music?
Basically, I moved around a lot. My parents moved around a lot. I went to five different high schools.
So you're a fellow nomad.
I am a nomad. I'm down with that. And so after the third high school, I was always intensely interested in music and movies and art and anything like that. That is where my background is. I acted in plays from the time I was in fourth grade all through high school and that. But I discovered that musicians actually get laid even more so than the football players. And I thought, maybe I should think about that. I think I could do that because seeing what I see on television, this is very much somebody who is an entertainer and out and very open about themselves. And that's me. So I started just acting like I knew what I was doing. So here's the interesting story. So the third high school, I came in on the first day, literally the first day, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, you're a new guy, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "So, what do you do?"
And you said,
"This is where the fork in the road is." And I thought, "I'm a singer in rock bands." I'd never fucking done that in my life, other than jumping around on a bed and pretending. And he goes, "Well, guess what? I know a band that's looking for a singer." Wow. By that afternoon...
Did you shit your pants?
No.
Are you ready for it?
No, because I have a very big ego. I can very much handle...
Put your pants back on, will you?
No, that's not me. I actually, I can fucking do whatever.
You could do that. Yeah. No, so, I like that proactive. So,
so by that afternoon, I had auditioned for, you know, a 16, 17-year-old's rock band.
That's awesome.
And there was the rock band, and that's how it started.
So that was it.
I sucked as a singer.
Doesn't matter.
I never sang before in my life, but I could act like I knew what I was doing. Right. That part I had down.
Well, if you have the confidence.
The
front man part.
The confidence
was no problem.
Yeah. See, like, that's the difference between on stage performance in that kind of arena and versus like a studio musician.
That's right.
If you go in the studio and you don't know what the hell you're doing,
you're fucked.
Yeah. Oh, you are so fucked.
You stand out the guy, like a sore thumb.
The guys and gals in the session with you can smell it.
Oh,
they can sniff you out. Yeah. They're like, this
motherfucker
doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
he's
and they
wasting
go to,
all our time.
They go to the producer, why did you hire this guy? You know?
Yeah.
That's the difference, right?
So I had to learn the singing part, and I put a lot of time and effort into it. Took a lot of lessons and that sort of stuff. But I did, and I think I did pretty good by the time I got in my 20s. And, you know, we had a band that I thought was pretty good. We chased the record business in the 80s, headlined a lot of the clubs down there, Whiskey Go-Go, Roxy, and Gazzari's Troubadour, and that sort of stuff. So we played a lot about them.
Busy Signal and your band?
We were rivals in some ways.
And your band was, again?
My band was Infrared.
Infrared,
yeah,
that's
and
right.
we were kind of like a funk rock sort of thing,
okay.
With a little bit of a progressive sort of thing.
And we were
they were
sort
very
of alt rock,
kind of yeah,
rock.
Yeah, very.
And we were also doing the Roxy and the Whiskey lingerie.
Yeah. So you guys are running into each other all the time.
Yeah. Mostly putting up posters back in the day when that was what you did.
That's
what you have to go down to Hollywood the weeks before because remember, it was a whole pay to play system.
That's right.
You know, they give you 100 tickets for $1,000. You sell them for at least $10, you make your money back. You sell them for $15, you make $500.
Yeah.
This sort of thing.
Right. So,
yeah.
So you guys
did that.
We did all that until 1991. Yeah.
Amazing.
And then I left. I had turned 30. I turned 30 in 1991, and I said, I've aged
out. I'm done.
I've aged out of this thing.
Don't trust
this rock and roll.
Over 30.
This rock and roll is for kids, you know? And so...
Wait, I'm still doing it then. What's wrong with me?
Well, now, wait a minute. I come back because it never leaves your blood, right? So,
that's true.
It doesn't.
All
three of us can attest
to
that.
I did not play at all. I focused on my day job. I was in tech. I always had...
That makes
sense. Unlike some of my bandmates who were willing to sleep on the floor, I had to have a level of comfort.
A nice
so
house,
I always
yeah.
had a day job. Yeah. And so I did a day job, and I'd play at night, and you know, I'd suffer and do that. And then so I took my day job serious, and I went into tech. I started a couple of businesses. 2007, I had a business that I sold. Yeah, I made some money.
Yeah.
I lived out a contract. And then by 2014, I was like, I hate this job.
Mm.
And I quit. Mm. And I said, well, geez, what am I going to do? And I thought, I don't – you know, I could have made another company to – for tech, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
You could have.
I could
saying,
have, yeah. And I said, you know, this podcast thing, music, my interest in history, I think I can combine those things and create something that will make me happier and hopefully some money. And so that's when it started.
I'm totally going to throw a curveball.
Yeah, yeah.
When you hit that little baritone edge that you just hit, you remind me of Casey Kasem.
Oh, I have a radio voice.
You remember Casey Kasem?
Of course I do.
Of course we do.
The Top of the Pots with Casey Kasem.
Okay, so tech now got mundane.
Yes.
You got into
very
the podcasting, but let's talk about...
There's a little tech to podcasting. So
of course, that's why I said I think
it's
perfect. But let's talk about the realities of this, okay? Mm. Because I always thought the people who are like, oh yeah, I'm a tech guy, and I sold my company, and I made this millions of dollars, and then I did this, oh yeah, now I do this. It's like, wow, you make it sound so easy. Boil it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you develop a company, sell it, and then start in the podcasting and like not have any really kind of idea of what this could potentially turn into? Did you have a business plan? Did you have goals? Did you write it down? Did you have a vision? Or was this happenstance? How much happenstance? How much pragmatic planning?
Wow, that's a great question. So,
you know,
I think, you know, it was sort of impulsive to start with.
That's where I'm getting at.
In the sense of like, well, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So what if I did this? Let's see what I can do with it. Now, because I come from an entrepreneurial background,
that's
I understood, you know, that, you know, starting from scratch. Number one, I felt that the industry itself was, you know, it wasn't professionalized. It wasn't closed. It was low barrier to entry.
Right.
So I could, I knew I could make a splash before the wave crashed. Is the key. And again, you know, you do what you love, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just couldn't get music out of my soul. I tried. I literally tried. For 10 years, I was like, no, I'd have
people go, hey, would you
sing on my demo or this? And I was like, no, I don't do that anymore. Finally, somebody convinced me to get back into it. And then I'm bad that way. Because, I mean, once it was like, they said, oh, let's do this. And I tried some stuff. And they were like, well, great. What if we did a band? I said, okay, well, what if we did an acoustic duo? So we started with acoustic trio. And then after a month, the guitar player came and said, you know, these songs would be better if we had a band. I said, okay, let's get a band. And so I'm the kind of guy that goes out and goes, let's get a band. So I made a band and that sort of thing. And I've been in this band, Tin Man, for 15 years now, which is a cover band in Northern California. We play all over Northern California.
Okay.
Lots of private parties, lots of festivals.
Oh, I love that sort of stuff.
Okay. So, TinManMusic.net.
TinManMusic.net. So is that your moonlighting gig?
Yeah, that's my moonlighting gig. Yeah. We do about 20 to 30 gigs a year, which keeps it out of making it a full-time
job.
And we you know, do well.
So that's you with the vest belting it out.
Yeah,
I love it, man. Yeah. See, so we're always coming back to bands. We have Smile Empty Soul. We have Tin Man. I mean, I love that. Okay. So you're back in it now.
Yeah.
Now you're doing Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah. At the time, honestly, I was doing, you know, my sales company during the day, and on the weekends, I'm playing music.
Nice.
For the last 5 or 6 years of with the tech company, and then you know, I said, do I really want to go back into that? And I felt, you know, I started in tech in 1986, which was the very beginning of that. And I followed it through. I started in fiber optics, then physical layer infrastructure, then went into data centers, enterprise,
wow,
and all kinds of stuff like that. So I
Jerry, he makes us like sound, you know, this guy's smart over here.
And, yeah, but you know what?
G. And a G minor.
Well, I know how to play a G.
I can even.
I'm not the greatest guitar player.
Yeah, but can you throw a six on it?
Let's see, six.
So you know, I just I couldn't get it out of my soul. It's just stuck there, and I have to do something about it. And,
I love it.
And I felt like the podcast side of things, and to talk about music and the love of that, and the passion that comes along with that, and knowing other folks have exactly the same thing, whether they are actual players or, you know, an audience you know, people who just love it.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. It's the same feeling.
That's right.
You know, I know plenty of people that don't play a lick, but they go to way more concerts than I do because they need that buzz.
Right. Isn't that a trip? It seems like the people who aren't necessarily players, quote unquote,
but they love music,
they go to all the shows.
Oh my God.
And thank God for them, because we don't go.
I got my own fucking show to go to.
And we got to practice for our shows.
Yeah.
Or we got to compose. We got to rehearse. We got to produce. We got to do all this shit. Like, if you say to us, we got a show, here's the one liner. And I just used it on one of my quotes. How do you get a musician to complain? Give him a gig.
I got this gig I gotta prepare for.
How do you get a guitar player to stop playing?
Put a music chart in front of him. What's the difference when you cut a...
This is going to go on forever.
When you cut a drummer in half versus an onion.
The drummer doesn't make you cry.
Right. Nobody cries when you cut a drummer
in half. Right.
What do you call a musician without a girlfriend?
Unemployed.
Homeless.
I was close. That's like a trombone player with a pager. Remember a beeper?
An optimist.
An optimist.
Yeah. You can say banjo.
Well, of course, there's always the, you know, well, what's a musician? You know, four members, but and a drummer.
Yeah, and a drummer. That's right.
Yeah. Or bass player. I've heard that one before.
Brett, who are some of the drummer's best friends? Musicians.
How do you know when a drummer?
Oh, this is going on.
Wait, no, last one. Last one.
How do you know when there's a drummer at your door?
How?
The knocking speeds up.
Oh, I know those drummers.
Oh, that's so awesome. Man, this what good times.
Yeah.
All right. So then we land on the Pantheon podcast. Let's go out with that because, like I said, I am happy, elated to be a member of the Pantheon podcast family, the Pod Fam. And actually, I hit you up on Slack because was it Slack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
our management tool.
Right. I was afraid that you guys were going to write me off because I hadn't released a new season.
It's good that you did, though. We wouldn't write you off. We would check
in with these guys and be like, guys,
all of a sudden you're gone.
I'm working on season 3. And I kid you not, I went to Pantheon podcast, the website, just to make sure I was still up
there. Yeah, you were there. Yeah. Thank God. So we're like, still there.
I still see the blue. Yeah. So as I see the blue, I'm safe.
Are. Yeah.
But I mean, so what's the future? Because we all know, the three of us, just as we deduced so intelligently, we don't know what the future holds.
That's right.
But with podcasting, as it were. But
when's this podcast coming out?
Yeah, well, this one, I don't know. Good question. It will be this year.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank God.
2020 is okay.
It'll be December 15th, 2020. It'll
2023.
It'll be like in the next literally 4 to 6 weeks at most.
Okay. Yeah. So the first thing that we did was we developed a network of 32 shows at this point and still growing. Mm-hmm. We're making double-digit growth downloads or streams a month over month for the last 6 months.
I love it.
We are engaging with advertisers and aggregators now to develop an advertising strategy for our podcast and our hosts.
Right.
We are developing a live show in various cities in 2020 and 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Ooh, can I be involved?
You are going to be involved.
Ooh, I love it.
We are contracting with other music entities to develop podcasts for them. Some very large names that will remain anonymous at this point.
Okay, I understand.
And here's the big announcement. yes, we do a complete suite of production services, soup to nuts, or a la carte. The big announcement is that we are going to be the first podcast company in the world to launch a HD podcast or high definition audio in podcasting.
Okay. As we're talking on SM58s, so how are we going to do this, guys?
So you're recording on Pro Tools right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's what are you using? 44, 48?
2448.
So it's 2448. So by the time you bounce this sucker down to an MP3, the quality does get reduced.
It does.
And MP3 just doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
So the high definition stuff maintains, you make a wave file at the highest the same definition that
you recorded. Yeah.
Recorded it. And with the old days with CDs, it had to be reduced to 16-bit.
44-16,
but we can leave it this way and then just have it be streaming with the highest possible audio quality. And there is a difference between that and an MP3.
Now, can I so that means I can upload my WAV files to Megaphone.
You'll upwave. Yeah. We will demand your WAV file. Right. Yeah. And then people would still have an option
to
listen to the MP3.
Yeah.
But there's if you have any kind of ear at all, you'll hear the MP3's way tinnier and thinner.
Right.
Yeah, highly compressed. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. Is that going to create a caveat for downloading? So will it people, in other words, if you download a WAV file, an hour long WAV file versus an hour long MP3, there's a difference in storage.
But that's the key. So the cost of storage has reduced tremendously.
That's right. Good point.
So, you know, this all kind of starts with, now I'm going to give up a name, Neil Young, who has been fighting this battle for 40 years.
That's right.
And how it all kind of came about is through Neil. He kind of said, hey, can you guys do high definition podcasting. We said, I don't know. Well, let's see. And we worked with a technology company that was able to work with us and say, we can do that. They're already doing it on the music space. In fact, Amazon has announced that all of their music streaming will be available in high definition. And we felt that we can provide the same services to podcasting.
I think that's amazing.
So that's the big thing that we're doing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for all the cats who couldn't be here, Richard, Peter, we love you guys. We thank you so much for being involved. I love you two guys. You're like my two new best friends. This is so awesome. Yeah. I mean, immediately you walked in the door, we hit it off.
Yeah.
So, wow, here's to much success.
Same here.
Absolutely.
You know, we are really happy to have the Career Musician as part of the Pantheon Pod fam.
Yes.
And we look forward to season 3 coming up here, which we apparently are going to be a big
You're
part of.
You're going to be a big part of. By the way, it's launching 2 weeks from today. It's launching on Monday, March 2nd.
Okay.
So 2 weeks from today. Now, Pantheon, where can everybody find Pantheon?
Okay, so obviously you can find it on any of the podcasting platforms out there. And then, you know, you can find us online at pantheonpodcast.com.
Right.
You can find us at Facebook, you know, on Pantheon Podcasts. I think
Instagram,
on Twitter, it's Pantheon Pods. And on Twitter, I think we discovered it's R&R Archaeology.
Still the old name
on there on Twitter. We see that Twitter and Facebook gets the most sort of action social media wise for us, given the demographics that are
Makes
out
sense.
There. It seems to work
sense.
Best for
but
us.
But you are on IG as well.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, so
fantastic, guys. Beautiful.
Great.
Thank you.
Nomad, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
For us.
Yes. All right.
The goal of the Career Musician Podcast is to provide valuable insight aimed at supporting working musicians. Please show your support by listening, downloading, subscribing, sharing, liking, and leaving a review.
This is the Career Musician Podcast with your host, Nomad.
I'm just a nomad, nowhere man. Writing the songs in this one-man band. A nomad, yeah. I'm a nomad, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh. So hush now, darling, you'll be fine. I'll be back this way sometime. Until then, baby, don't you cry.
Hey, this is Nomad, host and creator of the Career Musician Podcast, and I am thoroughly stoked to be an official member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Pantheon Podcast Network is the first of its kind as an all-music-based podcast collective. Please be sure to check us out at pantheonpodcast.com for more info.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.